Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today.
Matthew chapter 21. That's in the right-hand side of your Bible. First book, eloquently named. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 6. The Bible says, "So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and they brought the donkey and the colt, and laid their clothes on them, and sat him on them." This is talking about Jesus. "And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the multitudes who went before those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" And I want to take for a subject, who is this man? Just before Jesus was to die on the cross for you and for me, and we see him here coming into Jerusalem on this day, and we know this event as the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And he'd been in Jerusalem before, but never like this. I believe, and I know for a fact that Jesus had finances and he had all these things and so on. And I mean, how could you take care of 12 people if you didn't have finances and didn't have provision? I mean, I understand all that, but I also believe that Jesus was a humble man. Even though he was God in the flesh, even though he had all power, I mean, you can just imagine to have all these things working inside of you and knowing what is inside of you, but yet the battle of the flesh. I mean, we pray for folk and they get healed, and you know how wonderful you feel and how great that is, but yet you have to be careful that you don't get the mindset of, oh, it's me. It's what I am doing. Look at me. Look at how wonderful I am and all that. And so I can't even imagine the battle that Jesus had in his flesh, knowing this power that he had inside of him. But we see him as a humble man as he walked on the earth. Matthew 8, I'm going to just kind of skip through these. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but you can write them down and look at these later. But we find in Scripture where Jesus says to those who he healed, many of those who he healed, not even to tell anyone. He said, Matthew 8 and 3, 4, and Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. And this is what he said. He said, "I am willing. Be clean." And immediately he was cured of leprosy. And Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." And then in Luke chapter 9 and 20, he says, "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "The Christ of God." And this is what Jesus said. He strictly warned them, the Bible says in verse 21, not to tell this to anyone. Interesting, isn't it? And then in Luke 8, 54, he took her by the hand and he said, "My child, get up." And her spirit returned. And at once she stood up, and Jesus told them to give her something to eat. And her parents were astonished. The girl was dead. And her parents were astonished, verse 56. But he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. And then in Matthew 16, he was talking to his disciples, and this is what he said, "I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And notice what he says, and then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. But the day was coming, you see, when he would come into Jerusalem in a different way. For this day, when he came into Jerusalem, the Bible says that he was riding on a donkey, and that donkey was especially prepared for him. And they laid clothes out into the streets, and they took palm branches. That's where we get Palm Sunday, because they cut down branches and And they threw them out as Jesus was going on this donkey down the streets. And they were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the name. I mean, it's amazing at how this is the week that he would come in, known as this triumphal entry. They waved palm branches. But in the midst of all this ruckus, the Bible says in our text today in verse 10, Matthew 21, and when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. And there was a stir. And this is what they said. Who is this? Now, this is an honest question. I mean, you know, because they could be way out. I mean, I don't know how many was the crowd. And when the Bible says multitudes, I mean, I'm not sure of an exact number. But, you know, you could look back. You've seen a parade or whatever. And you've been way in the back. And it's hard to see that person that's coming down. Who is that? You know, and they were looking and saying, you know, who is that person? Who are they talking about? Who is this man? What's all the commotion about? And so it's an honest question, but when you look at it, in the context of what Jesus had done, this question seems amazing to me because up to that point in his life, we have recorded in Scripture that he had turned water into wine. He'd fed 10,000 people or more with just somebody's lunch. Now, he did that twice. He literally, in those 3 years, had healed thousands upon thousands of people from every kind of disease known to man at that time. Demons trembled when Jesus walked into the room. There was one instance where he walked up to a man, and those demons said to him, "Have you come to torment us before our time, thou Jesus, Son of God?" They knew who he was. And even Jesus told them to be quiet. He cast out demons. I mean, this fella had power. I mean, this is the real deal. By this time, he had already sent out his disciples. And they did the same thing. As they would go out, the Bible says that they healed the sick and they cast out demons. And they preached Jesus as the Messiah. This is a very controversial subject at that time. That Jesus was the Messiah. This was blasphemy. So you know as well as I do that that word got around. We even find that the religious sect of that day, the religious community, that they were always trying to trip up Jesus. They were always trying to find something wrong with what he was saying. They was always combating him. And well, what about this? And well, what would you do in this situation? How would you deal with that? And always trying to trip him up. They even tried to kill him. And you know that someone who would go to that extent is certainly going to preach behind their pulpits. They're certainly going to tell their families. They're certainly going to tell everyone who would listen, this guy's a fraud. And all of this happened within a 130-mile circle of where Jesus lived and died. So we're not talking about a huge area. We're not talking about billions of people either. And so it's kind of amazing to me when they ask this question, who is this man? And when you look at it in the context of today, our dilemma is the same. Even with the internet and with TV and with radio and we have satellite and we have news media. I mean, listen, a bomb could go off at 12 o'clock today in Baghdad, thousands of miles from here. And I can sit in my living room and literally in the same hour that the bomb goes off, I can know that a bomb went off. I can know where it is, the street that it was on, how many people was killed, and who was responsible for it. Sitting in my living room, watching my TV. That's amazing. Know exactly what's going on thousands of miles away. And in spite of America, and I mean, I understand that America has problems. I mean, America's not perfect. We've got sin that spans from coast to coast and border to border. And we've got problems and we've got all kinds of things that we need help with. But hear me, America is still the loudest voice that is proclaiming the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ all over the world. America still is the loudest voice saying that Jesus is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We send more missionaries and we send more money. We're feeding more poor and more hurt. We're building more orphanages than any other nation on the earth. We're caring for more people out of our borders. America, we are the loudest voice proclaiming who Jesus really is. And it's covering the globe. Christian TV literally covers the globe. Christian radio covers the globe. Those who call themselves Christian talking about Jesus and spreading the good news and showing God's love. And it is an amazing. And listen, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt just as well as I know that if you walk into places today, Jesus, and you start talking about Jesus, you start talking about living a Christian life, and you start talking about some of these things, that it sparks an incredible amount of controversy. Jesus, I believe, is probably the most controversial subject today that you can talk. It sparks more debate and angers more people than politics, stem cell research, than abortion, than global warming. I mean, listen, you just walk into any place and you start talking, and I guarantee that you'll understand what I'm talking about. You've probably experienced it yourself. Why is that? Well, Jesus said in Luke chapter 12:49, he says, I'm come to send fire on the earth. Some folk don't want to hear this. They want all the gushy stuff and the stuff that makes me feel good about myself and all that. But they don't want to hear some of these scriptures that are in the Bible. But Jesus, this is what he said. He said, I have come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it has already been kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am straitened till it be accomplished. Suppose ye that I have come to give peace on earth. But notice what he says. I tell you nay, but rather division. Now, what does that division mean? It means disunion of opinion and conduct. In other words, he's saying, I am drawing a line in the sand. This is black and this is white. This is the way that it is and this is the way it shouldn't be. For from henceforth, there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Father divided against the son, son against the father, mother against the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and so on, and so on, and so on. What's he saying? He is saying that he has come to the earth as God in the flesh, and when he did that, he took the battle between evil and good and took it to a whole nother level, you see. It was a whole nother level. When he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that sparked a lot of controversy. It divided everyone. You can't be on the middle. You're either one or the other. That's what he's saying. There's a definite line in the sand. I am the only way. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we don't have to go far outside these four. I mean, how many of you have experienced this even in your own families? Sure we have. We've personally experienced this. And so in spite of this controversy about Jesus. I mean, they just had another show on TV about the tomb of Jesus. People look at it from an archaeological point. But when you look at it in the context of the Bible, what that says is that Jesus died and is dead. So that takes redemption away. See how much of a controversy even just that documentary is. You see what I'm saying? That just was on TV the other week. You know, if you believe that, then you believe that there's no way that Jesus rose on the third day. There's no way that he has the keys to death, hell, and the grave, that he overturned all these things, you see. So that's a big deal. And in spite of the TV, in spite of all these things, in spite of tracts that are handed out literally by the millions, do you remember the Gideons come a while back and how many millions of Bibles a year that they pass out? In spite of all these things, it is amazing to me that there are still people, and statistics have proven that on the earth today, 1.6 billion people still have not heard of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Haven't even heard it, let alone understand what he came to do. That's an amazing thing. Just try to wrap your head around it. With all our technology and with everything that's going on today, practically a fifth of our population on this earth has never even heard of Jesus. Let that sink in for a minute. I mean, that's five times the population of America. So take America, times it by five, and everyone that's in our borders never even heard of Jesus. So I want to share just a few quick points today. And I want to encourage you in your efforts to reach the lost and to make a difference for people. Because it's a big thing. Jesus said, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers out in, because it's overwhelming. The statistics in our churches today, and I've said this two or three times here, but it's amazing the statistics. And sometimes we get overwhelmed because one person is doing the job of nine people in an average church today. So every one person that pays their tithes, I don't know, there's like five or six that don't. And so you can see how we can be overwhelmed, those who are carrying the load. You understand what I'm saying? So Jesus said, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send more laborers. He sent backup. Troops. Lord, we need help. We need help. Because we can't reach 1.6 billion people by ourselves. But we can reach each one that the Lord sends our way. And that's how they'll get taken care of. That's how the gospel will be preached. That's how God intended it to be. They went from house to house, family to family, breaking bread, talking about the word, praying one for another, and that's how the communities were changed. Who is this man? When people encounter Jesus, they're always going to be affected one way or the other. They're going to be moved somehow. And so we need to be ready for whichever way they come. Who is this Jesus? He's the Savior of mankind. I want you to write all these scriptures down. Romans 1 and 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Hebrews 7 and 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Romans 5 and 17. For if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through one man? And it is all summed up in Jesus Christ. Titus 2 and 13. So while we wait for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify himself a people that are his very own. Jesus said, I am the way, John 14 and 6, the truth and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. So Jesus, he is our Savior. Who is this Jesus? They'll ask you. Who is this Jesus? They heard about what's going on over here. They heard people are getting healed. And so they said to Susan, hey, would you pray for me? Would you pray? Do you know how powerful that is? I mean, do you know how powerful that really is? Well, I heard about that church up there, and I don't want nothing to do with them. They're a bunch of hypocrites. Would you rather have them saying that? I heard they got bugs in their spaghetti. Bless God. Who is this Jesus? He's our healer. Isaiah 53, we all know this great scripture. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And this is such a powerful scripture. And he ends it this way, and he says, and with his stripes, 700 years before Christ even went to the cross, he wrote these words, with his stripes we are healed. Matthew 9 and 27, when Jesus departed, two blind men followed him, crying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Has the Lord ever asked you, do you believe that I can do this for you? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Do you believe I can provide for you? Oh, yes, Lord. Do you believe that I can take care of your family? Oh, yes, Lord. Do you believe that I can save your children? Oh, yes, Lord. Do you believe that I'll protect your babies when they go out? Oh, yes, Lord. Do you believe that I can do that? Oh, yes, Lord. And he said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. And then he touched their eyes. And he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. Wow. Matthew 8 and 17, and he took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. Who is this Jesus? He's our soon coming King. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he said, comfort one another with this word. He's coming for us, church. Some say it's an escapist religion. Guess what? You call it anything you want. I could care less. But I know that I'm going up one of these days. And yes, I will escape all of the troubles that this earth brings and all of the things that happens to my flesh and all the battles that I face. There will come a day when I will escape all these things, not because of any righteousness that's in me or because of any great thing that I've done, but it was God's plan from the beginning to rescue us. He's my crutch. I don't have a problem admitting that. Oh, Jesus is a crutch. Yeah, he sure is. What a crutch. Hallelujah. Who is this Jesus? Somebody's going to ask you this week. Who is this Jesus? What are you talking about? Messiah's inquest. What's that about? Well, it's about they're proving Jesus is who he is. What's that about? He's our everything. John 15:5. He said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. And he that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. The older I get, the more I realize my dependency on God and how little I really am capable of doing on my own. How limited my wisdom is and how fragile I can be at times. Can I confess to you? Baby, when I was 20, I could take on anything. I'm twice that now, and hopefully I know a little better. 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then the last scripture for today, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Bless the name of the Lord. Who is this Jesus? Be prepared. As they come to you, be prepared to answer. As they come to you, be ready. Be quick to answer. In this thing, be quick to answer. Be right there with Scripture. Don't hesitate. Don't jump back from it. Don't hesitate, not even a little bit. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus. And just start talking about the goodness of the Lord. Start talking about the things that he's done for you. And I guarantee that you'll make a difference in somebody's life this week. This week.
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about the warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, and may he give you his peace.